When we began the book of Ephesians, I shared with you that I see Ephesians as a miniature Romans. And some of the things we'll be in today in this little snippet out of chapter 4, Paul spends several chapters in Romans to enlarge on it. We are in chapter 4. We're going to begin at verse 20 that says, "But you did not learn Christ in this way." So obviously we're stepping into kind of a conclusive or a directive from something he's already set us up for. You did not learn Christ in this way, and it doesn't take much looking around or listening or reading to realize there's a whole lot of different versions of Jesus Christ that are out there. And none of them are going to hold up but who he is, truly. He has given us the truth, and there is no reason at all to spin it around to where we're comfortable with him. Jesus, the person, the Son of God, you did not learn Christ in this way. In what way? Last week, I went through a selection of other scriptures to enlarge this. This morning, I want to stay right here, but I want to approach it a little differently. Verse 19, I would like to use the previous phrases against one another and go back progressively. Here's what I mean. You did not learn Christ in this way. In what way? Well, they, verse 19, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Christ isn't like that. Though I've heard of some versions of church and Christianity that do those very things. You didn't learn Christ this way. So they gave themselves over to the sensuality. Why? Well, back up a phrase. Having become callous. Well, why do they become callous? Back up to the next phrase. Because of the hardness of their heart. Why? But back up another phrase. Because of the ignorance that is in them. And we can ask why again. And I think that this chapter unfolds for us briefly what the Apostle Paul does in Romans, enlarges on. And that is, in chapter 1 of Romans, there is a willful decision that is made to set aside God, to set aside what God has used and created to reveal himself with, and they turn to other options. So go back to verse 17 right here. This I say and affirm together with the Lord that you no longer walk in this way, as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their thinking. Romans 1 says they set aside God and the evidences of God in creation and became futile in their thinking. Futile in their mind, being darkened in their understanding, that is an outworking of the futility of thinking. Excluded from the life of God, alienated from the life of God. God is there screaming out, I am here, I am real, here's my character, here is my qualities, here is my existence. Oh no, we don't want that. And so, self-imposed ignorance comes that brings on the hardness of heart, that brings the callousness that gives them over to sensuality of every kind, for the practice of every kind of impurity, even with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. He's the rescuer. He's the one that came to pull you out of that. But there's a question that comes up in verse 21. You did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him. And it can be since you have heard him. But like 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Do you really believe in this Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus, the King of Kings. Jesus, co-creator with the Father. Jesus, deity with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. That Jesus. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. Have you heard him? This kicks me back into John. Would you go back with me, please, to John chapter 6? John 6. John 6:44 is really the verse that is highlighted in this section more than any other, to the exclusion sometimes of 45. 6:44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." Verse 45, "It is written in the prophets that they," those are the ones that come to him, "they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." That is the way he draws, as I see it. Are you paying attention? You did not learn Christ in this way if you have heard him. Ephesians 4 tells me. Go to John chapter 10 with me. John 10. In verse 22, "At that time the feast of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico or porch of Solomon. The Jews therefore gathered around him and were saying to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.'" Guess what he'd been doing for 3 years? Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these will bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my Father's hand." I have to tell you this. Ephesians 4 helps clear it up just a little bit. If you have heard the Father, heard his voice, if you've been taught of the Father, this is the Christ that you know. "I have never heard an audible voice of God." Those that hear audible voices, I have reason to be a little skeptical. I have heard other voices, and people around me have too. It's not always God. Yet at the same time, in November of 1975, it's like God landed on me. I knew that this Jesus was true. The gospel was true. I was a sinner. I knew that. And I was destined for hell without Jesus. It all came clear to me. And it wasn't from my religious background. I had been praying, "God, if this is true, show me." And there was a series of things that happened. I didn't catalog those, but at a certain point, I knew that I had heard him calling, though not with my ear. You follow what I'm saying? I knew the truth of it. That is, the truth is in Jesus. We're going to see that in Ephesians 4 in just a moment. He drew me in at that point. And one day when I see him face to face, it's all going to come crystal clear what he did, how he did, and I'm not going to have a question about it. I have heard his voice, though not with this flesh ear. I've heard the call. I know the truth because I know him who is the truth. Let's go back to Ephesians. "But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus." Let's join this to verse 17. "All other thinking is futile." Truth is in Jesus. Jesus is the one that claimed to be the way, the truth, the life. "No man comes to the Father but by me," he said, John 14, 6. Truth. John 17, 17, Jesus prayed for his disciples, and he prayed for all who will ever be his disciples. When he prayed, Father, set them apart in truth. Thy word is truth. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, all other speculation is futile. All other answers are futile. All other saviors are futile. All other Jesuses, it's futile thinking. The truth is in Jesus. And the truth, according to this passage, is that we are now a new person. This has been building since chapter 1. We are a new person, a very different person, still living in this old body, though. You know, I really appreciated a particular old cartoon. It was in an old series of cartoons of 6 hours long, as I recall, that the grandparents used to have for my kids. And this old farmer just moving along, just an old corn farmer. I don't remember the exact circumstance, but you see his soul kind of leave his body at one point. And his old body is called a husk. I liked that terminology. This old husk, this old carcass, I live inside this thing. And the person inside is new and different. This passage will teach us that, like some other passages. I didn't make myself different inside. I couldn't possibly. That's a renewing work of the Spirit of God. That is making me alive from the inside, and I still live in this old husk. A person who is spiritually alive, growing in Christ, and bound for heaven. Romans 6 and 7 fill this out, two full chapters. And it basically says we are stuck in this old body, which is being corrupted, just like this tells us. Look in chapter 4 right here, verse 22, just as the truth is in Jesus, from 21, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, the old man, the old person, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts that are deceitful, the lust of deceit. And lust here is sexual, and it is beyond sexual. It's all the drives to fulfill my cravings, of which you didn't learn Christ in this way. It's about me. It's not about Christ. It's about me and my glory. It's not about Jesus and his glory. This old man set it aside, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man or the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Here's the truth. The truth is in Christ. That you're now a new person, very different person, a person who is spiritually alive, growing in Christ, bound for heaven. You're still stuck in this old body which is being corrupted. That means it is prone to fleshly desires that are not of God. I'm still stuck in this thing that's prone to selfishness. It's prone to self-exaltation. It's prone to what I want is more important than what you want. What I want is more important than what God wants. You know how Romans 6 deals with it? He says, put to death those deeds of the flesh. Man, some of them are going to die hard. Some of them are going to go to a grave kicking and screaming if they ever go to a grave before I die. Among these are things like anger, rotten attitudes, all the selfishness that drives me to do what I do, my affections and passions and on and on. Put them to death, Paul said in Romans 6. Ooh, I need help. I need God, and I've got him. The Holy Spirit is within me. And the grace of God is available to me. This walk in a manner worthy of your calling, cooperate with what he is doing in you step by step, death of the old by death of the old. This isn't becoming religious. There's religion out there that says you need to improve yourself. This is about relationship and God in me and him doing a work of changing me from the inside out. You are a new creature in Christ. Do you have that memorized? 2 Corinthians 5:17. I want you to turn there with me. Please turn there. Just back up two books. 2 Corinthians. And I want to begin at verse 14. Chapter 5. Beginning at verse 14. You there? For the love of Christ controls us or constrains us. There's something new going on, driving us forward. Having concluded this, that one died for all. We've just sung several songs about that. Jesus, our Redeemer. Jesus, the one that died for my sin. There is one that died for all. Therefore, all died. Something happened at the cross with me personally. He died for me. I died with him. Therefore, all died. And he died for all that they who live should no longer live for themselves. That's that old man. But for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, now we know him thus no longer. He is different than just the flesh and blood that he walked around in here. And now, Paul is saying, I don't see you as the old carcass that my eyes see. I see a brother in Christ. I see a born-again child of God. And you got your idiocies, so do I. You got your things that you're still dragging along in this old carcass. And I see you as a born-again child. John, you spoke of a brother who's been through a lot, and he's born again. That's the kind of thing. Okay, then he goes on to explain it, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. The old man died. And Romans 6 says, now put to death the deeds of that old guy. Behold, all things are new, or new things have come. And all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, and so forth. Goes on. Let's go back to chapter 4 of Ephesians. But you did not learn Christ in this way. You're not like the old. It's not like the old. It's not religion. It's not old Judaism. It's not old legalism. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, you've been drawn by him, you're in him just as the truth is in Jesus, that, and here's the truth, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. The lust of deceit, those deceive the person into thinking they're doing right. Or that it is right. Or that it's okay. It's justifiable. When God says it's still wickedness. It's still wrong. He details those out. We're not going there today. Except I want to point your eyes to it. It starts in verse 25. Speak truth with one another. Verse 26. Be angry yet don't sin. Verse 28. Stop stealing. It gets detailed out. That's not of Christ. Another point I want to make here, and we'll be finished. That verse 22, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. By the way, corruption comes in the form of death, and that equals wrinkles and gray hair. It equals those ailments. It says, yeah, we're shrinking down. 2 Corinthians 4, it's cool. And into chapter 5. But the new man is being renewed day by day. Yeah, praise the Lord. In reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spiritual battle is here more than anywhere else. There is nothing in my body, including my passions and my emotions right here, that are unconnected to my mind. My thinking needs to change. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed. It means to be jammed into the mold, the cookie cutter of this world. But be being renewed in your mind. Think different. How can I do that? Immerse yourself in what God has revealed to us in His Word. Immerse yourself in it. There may come a day in your lifetime where this is taken from you. How much are you going to remember? How much is invested there that the Holy Spirit is going to bring back to your recollection? That's not just memorizing. That's spending time with God in what He's given to us in the Scripture. We have it now. Don't think that you're always going to have it. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God, or according to God, like God is, it's been created in righteousness and truth. Righteousness talks about behavior. Doing right because it's right. Thinking right because it's right. Speaking right because it's right. And holiness is a set apartness. It's different. It's other than. This old carcass used to house an old guy. And that old guy was fully engaged in the world. Now, I wasn't as bad as that guy over there, you know. I was a little worse than that one over there, though. One way or the other, that was the old. And he says, now put that off. You are new in Christ Jesus. Put on the new. That means start walking the walk in accordance with Him. He is righteous and He is holy. He is different than all else. And I'll tell you what, I believe that the Christian life results in somebody becoming different that can be seen. This is an encouragement passage. This is a passage that admonishes us to walk in a manner worthy of that calling. This is not to earn salvation. Please hear me. That's what religion says. You earn your salvation. But what did Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 say? By grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, but God, I'm doing all the right things. Well, the right things are still death until you have Jesus and the life of Jesus. Ephesians 2:10 introduces this passage. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for righteousness, right acting, for holiness of truth. It's set apart. It's different than. Ephesians 2:10, we are His Greek word. Remember the Greek word I almost gave it away. The word for workmanship or craftsmanship, poema. We are His poema. That is our word poem. What a beautiful poem is being written. Some poems start off with some tragedy and end up in God's glory. And none of the poems that are God's are going to receive the glory. The poet gets the glory. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has before ordained, long time plan, that we should walk in them. Open it up for interactions. Okay.
Just like when we started with Ephesians, it's talking about walking in humility.
Yes.
And it brings up the parable of the sower and the four types of soil. It's like in our own minds, being that rich soil that is ready to receive the seed, which is the Word of God. It's just like, so sometimes we don't have to know like the intricate details. When we just trust in that humility that Christ inspires us to seek His Word, that we are brought to a deeper understanding and a deeper walk with the Lord, and also are, you know, like held fast for until the end of the days.
Thank you. Cliff?
It's, it's our nature to try to hang on to things and to grasp and keep, and that's, as we realize, I think we should realize more and more of who God is, what it is that's offered to us. The eternal, holy, perfect God that gives us so much more than anything in this world that we enjoy. He has far more for us than that. And yet here we are just struggling in so many different ways. And those are those sins that entrap us. It's thinking about that, exactly, that old self, that corrupting thing. And while we're here, we're just dealing with that to get our eyes past that on truly what God does have for us. And it starts now. It starts now. What a privilege that is, not to be trying to... We should put off those things, but those get put off more by grabbing on to what is new, by holding on and running towards Christ and grasping that. I think even in our world, it's not just in the you and I. I think we could take that and put it to the larger scope. I think of what's like in Afghanistan, some of the Christians there, what they're going through. They're getting more. The old life is going away. But if you hang on to try to, Jesus said that, if you try to hang on to this, you'll lose it. But we get everything with Him.
Thank you. Good points.
So you referred back to 2 Corinthians, the great passage. And it says, for the love of Christ compels us, or compels us. And I've read where that is a kind of a two-way street. You can interpret it two ways. The love of Christ, His love for us, would compel us. But also, and you explained this well today, once we hear what God has done in Christ for us, our love for Him should also then compel us to step into this new life. So I appreciate what you said today, how you explained that part of it. That our love, once we hear and see, that should compel us then to make a decision.
Thank you.